Legislative report, Mitch Pomerantz.
Oh, it is working. Very good. All right. Let's see if we can get through this relatively quickly and also without me needing some of that cucumber water, which I refuse to drink.
Need a little alcohol to it.
Cucumber is a terrible thing to do to a pickle. This is an update on bills sponsored, supported, or followed by the California Council of the Blind during the just concluded first half of the 2015-16 legislative session. This year, CCB sponsored one bill, wrote letters of support and opposition in a couple of instances, and followed several others. I want to first acknowledge the members of the CCB Governmental Affairs Committee for their assistance and support. Artis Bazin, Lena Dawes, now Lena Bandy, Margie Donovan, Roy Harmon, Alice McGrath, Stephen Mendelson, Charles Navarrete, Teddy Joy Remhill, and Robert Wendt. Each of them has specific expertise in one or more areas, and CCB was most fortunate to be able to utilize their talents as legislative proposals came to our attention. I also want to acknowledge President Jeff Tom's assistance in our advocacy efforts. Since I reside in Pasadena and Jeff in Sacramento, the spade work involving face-to-face meetings with legislators or their aides and testifying at committee hearings was handled by Jeff. I spent a fair amount of time on the phone and drafting letters. So let me begin with the bill CCB sponsored. Senate Bill 199, authored by Isidore Hall, which would add to the list of supportive services offered under the IHSS program up to 2 hours per month of reading assistance and completing of financial and other documents for recipients who are blind or vision impaired. CCB sponsored this bill because, as we know, while access to written information is one of the greatest barriers we face in living independently, the reading and completing or completion of documents is not a service covered under the in-home supportive services program at the present time. I am pleased to tell you that SB 199 passed both Senate and Assembly and is now on the governor's desk awaiting his signature. I should caution everyone, however, that CCB has been down this road before, only to have a very similar bill vetoed by a previous unnamed governor. We have met with and written to Governor Brown and can only hope that this time SB 199 will be signed into law. I believe October 11th. Assembly Bill 1353, authored by Jim Patterson, was a proposal sponsored by blind vendors and actively supported by CCB. It would prohibit the Department of Transportation, we lovingly refer to that agency as Caltrans, from being reimbursed for utility costs incurred by vendors operating under the Business Enterprises Program for the Blind, and would require Caltrans to pay for those utility costs out of state funds. The vendors adversely affected by having to pay for utilities are those running roadside rest areas on California's highways. Many of these vendors operate on very thin profit margins, and SB 1353 was intended to remove this financial burden. Thanks to the hard work of a number of vendors, along with many of our members, I am pleased to tell you that AB 1353 was signed by the governor. This is a tremendous victory and one about which all of us should be very proud. Other bills in which CCB took some interest included AB 8, Gatto, which authorized use of the state's existing network of changeable message signs to help apprehend suspects when a hit-and-run accident occurred resulting in a fatality or serious injury. CCB supported this bill because of the number of blind and low-vision individuals who have been injured in hit-and-run accidents over the years. Earlier this week, the governor signed AB 8 into law. Reluctantly, CCB was forced to oppose AB 683, low, which requires the Secretary of State to establish a Voting Accessibility Advisory Committee, VAAC, a cross-disability entity to make recommendations related to improving the accessibility of elections for people with disabilities who are voters. This body was put forward in lieu of the initial concept, a blindness-specific entity to address the unique access needs of blind and low-vision voters. The bill did propose a subcommittee under the VAC to address our specific accessibility concerns. While there were a number of provisions which would potentially benefit us, CCB became concerned that the bill language failed to specify representation from consumer organizations of the blind, including CCB. Not surprisingly, however, AB 683 was signed by the governor, so we will just have to see if our concerns are appropriately addressed by the subcommittee and the VAAC. CCB opposed SB 251, Roth, which protects a business with 100 employees or less from liability for minimum statutory damages after the business has obtained an inspection by a certified access specialist, thereby allowing that business to identify and correct violations. We sent a letter strongly opposing this bill because we saw it as a clear effort to enhance the ability of business owners to thwart the legitimate efforts of persons with disabilities to ensure that places of public accommodation comply with state and federal accessibility statutes. We thought we had dealt with that issue when we supported 1186 a few years ago and gave business what we thought at the time was sufficient option to correct ADA and state violations. Clearly, half a loaf wasn't enough for these folks. Surprisingly, given the political orientation of the legislature here in California, SB 251 passed both houses rather easily. The governor has yet to sign it, and we can only hope that he decides that a veto is in order. SB 474, Brown and Thurmond, would have increased SSI grants for individuals to 112% of the federal poverty level. Although we strongly supported this bill, the increase was not included in the budget agreed upon by the governor and legislature in June. CCB strongly supported SB 624, Anderson, which would have taken steps toward ensuring that all state websites finally meet state and federal accessibility requirements. Unfortunately, this bill failed to muster sufficient support for passage by the legislature. I guess we'll have to try again next year. SB 450, Roth, was discussed this afternoon by Michael Nunez. We will be back next year, hopefully, and we are very actively involved in writing provisions into that legislation which will benefit blind and visually impaired absentee voters like yours truly. Speaking of our legislative efforts next year, I want to mention two proposals resulting directly from recent CCB resolutions. First, CCB, in collaboration with Guide Dog Users of California, will be looking to introduce legislation addressing issues under the jurisdiction of the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind. Second, we were unable to find an author for draft bill language permitting purchase by state agencies of assistive technology utilizing the Department of Rehabilitation's state price schedule in lieu of the existing requirement of a comprehensive bid process, which is typically extremely time-consuming and bureaucratic. Finding authors for both initiatives will be a priority for CCB this fall. I want to wrap up by offering a personal perspective on an issue that relates specifically to CCB's current and future advocacy activities and has engendered some discussion among leaders within the organization. It is an issue that future leaders of CCB will need to seriously think about. It has become fashionable among many within CCB to identify with the philosophy of the independent living and/or cross-disability movement. The idea is that there are far more persons with physical or other disabilities than they are persons who are blind or vision impaired. So, if we are to achieve any success in upholding or expanding our rights, we must coalesce with the broader disability community. While this argument is seductive and fits well with the collaborative spirit so prevalent in California, a close examination of current circumstance and past history tells us just how problematic this notion can be. I only need to cite CCB's decades-long struggle to retain and enhance categorical services for the blind. Other than our colleagues in the deaf and hard of hearing community, the independent living movement persists in telling us that we don't need the specialized services we know are necessary in order to function as independent members of society. They continue efforts at diverting funds from our programs and our agencies for the blind and for more generic programs and agencies that typically don't serve us very well. For what it's worth, my rule of thumb when working with the larger disability community is simple and straightforward. We should work collaboratively with other disability groups when we know two things, absolutely, that our interests are truly mutual and that our interests will not be subsumed by the larger group. If we don't follow this approach, ladies and gentlemen, everything that past generations of CCB members fought so hard to achieve for future generations of blind and low vision persons will be lost forever. That concludes my Governmental Affairs Committee report for 2015. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Don't know if we have any time for questions. That's
take a few questions.
All right, Gene.
Okay, got somebody who has the mic?
There's one here. Why isn't that report on the telephones, pressing number 5 in the telephone menu at the home office?
Dirk, the last report that's on that on the CCB line is from late July. The legislature adjourned on August. I had a rather crazy August myself. I promise you that there will be an updated report now that the legislative session has concluded for this year. And I will also provide this report for the next issue of the Blind Californian, probably minus my personal comments, because those will appear in the legislative report that will be in the upcoming issue of the BC. But I will pledge to, now that the phone system is working, that I will have regular updates of activities beginning as soon as I get back home.
Oh, we do have some urgency about it. If October 11 is Governor Brown's deadline.
Yes, absolutely. There will be an update, particularly with regard to SB 199. Yes. Any other questions? Okay. Mr. Chair, floor is yours.
We're